This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 404 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
I have a bit of a cold. This is Mike again. I sound awkward, maybe. I have a bit of a cold. I'm going to try to get through this the best I can. We haven't recorded in a few weeks' time because of work and sickness and conferences and, you know, big happy fun time stuff. But here we are now. To talk about stuff and things that we've watched.
You know, if we hadn't gone so far between and if we were a bit more like popular, I would have suggested that we jumped right up to episode 405 and skipped over episode 404 because, you know, an error, a 404 error means page not found, file not found, etc. So that would have been kind of cool. Could have been like, you know, where's 404?
That would have been awesome, John. That should be the title of the episode.
The episode error code. Missing.
The error code, yeah.
Error 404.
Episode 404. What is that? What is the specific verbiage for 404? Let's see here. The requested page is not available on the server. Page not found. Yeah, so episode 404, page not found. The requested page is not available on the server. Yeah, let's just do that. I think that sounds perfect.
Perfect.
But
I got some stuff and things to talk about, huh?
Yeah, I got. So not. I mean, I don't know. I got 13-ish movies to talk about.
I only have 8.
And some television viewings to talk about, I guess. Do we have any What We Do in the Shadows to chat about?
Should be 3 episodes.
Really? Because, see, it's hard to gauge because it hasn't been on.
It sure has. It's been on every week.
Really?
So before we went off before you headed to your conference, you had forgotten to watch the Nandor's Army episode. You were like, oh, it completely slipped my mind. Since then, we've had March Madness and PI Undercover.
What about Laszlo's father?
Oh, yeah, Laszlo's father.
All right. So
4 episodes.
Okay. All right. Okay. This seems wrong, but all right. Nandor's Army. So I think it's finally went to New Hampshire, at least.
Yeah.
And he puts an army together, but everyone sees it as being mannequins until at the end when an actual army of people show up.
Right. Which I was like, I really hope there really is an army and it's not just him going crazy with mannequins.
Yep. So I thought that was pretty solid. None of the episodes have blown me away. They've all been kind of formulaic or like stereotypical for the show.
And they've progressively gotten a bit lamer.
About what? A bit what?
A bit lamer with each episode.
Like Nandor's army was kind of lame.
Yep.
And then Laszlo's father, Roderick Cravensworth, returns as he's a spirit. And so, like, Laszlo is at first kind of excited to see his father. But then Colin Robinson basically wants him to be his father. And essentially, Roderick's just trying to use Laszlo to get his body.
Mm-hmm.
So he can inhabit his body. And, you know, it doesn't. Yeah. And then there's their proton packs to fight ghosts. But then the B story is Nadja and Nandor think their neighbors are shapeshifters because it's an Airbnb. And so the people keep changing.
Right. And, you know, Guillermo reminds them that he's told them over and over again that it's an Airbnb, but they don't want to believe it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, like you were saying, with Nandor's army, by the end, it turns out that the woman who's been renting it out is a shapeshifter.
Yeah, exactly. The March Madness, they think Sean's possessed because he's obsessed with the March Madness college basketball tournament. Well, you know what? That's a real thing, I think. With some people,
so too.
Some people get into it so much that, yeah, that feels like a real thing to me. Oh, and then the other half is Colin Robinson helping Guillermo find out what his identity is in the at his office.
That was rough.
Yeah, that was real rough because Colin kept beating the shit out of Guillermo for some reason.
Right?
Yeah. Like, and then Guillermo's like happy to be the guy that gets his ass whooped. Like, that doesn't seem like something you'd want to be happy about.
No, I certainly wouldn't want that.
They somehow summon a demon or the devil or some sort of demon to help them battle Sean.
But he just ends up just a basketball fanatic as well.
Yeah, and he just ends up like fucking with Sean about it, which is kind of funny.
I love though when Sean's in the hospital and the demon leaves and he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna head back to hell." And he just starts walking down the hall and Nandor's like, "Oh, I was hoping it would be cooler." And then he just like stretches out his arms and literally explodes into blood and guts.
That was a bit cooler.
Yeah.
What is it? Nandor falls in love with the guide or has a crush on the guide.
Which seems a little like, I don't know. It seems odd.
Yeah, it does.
It's kind of out of left field. I don't feel like it was very earned.
So again, the pattern I'm seeing is that there's fun parts of each episode, and then there's some pretty lame storylines in each episode.
Mm-hmm.
The overall enjoyment as a whole is there, and it is kind of sad we were down to a few episodes. Three episodes, I believe it is. So I hope it finishes very strong.
Me too.
The New York the PI undercover New York, where they're filming the TV show next door. How many people did they kill and no one noticed?
At least two that they snapped the necks and flung them at the house.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that, yeah, anyways. But Nandor and Laszlo do help Guillermo meet the star of the show and get his stuff signed and everything. You know, like Kevin Pollak. that was kind of interesting how they, you know, like actually did something nice for Guillermo, like together.
Yep.
After you like turning on each other and battling each other and yeah.
Over the what did he keep calling it? It was a hooded sweatshirt, but he was calling it something else, like I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know what he called it either.
But yeah,
it was over merch.
None of these episodes have really like gotten me like some of the earlier seasons did. You know, some of the earlier seasons and even one or two episodes this season were like so good and it felt so fun and, you know, having to pause from laughing so hard. Yeah. It just doesn't feel like that this season.
So Nadja and Colin go hang out with Colin's friends because Nadja wants to practice being her human skills still.
Oh my God.
And finds out that like Colin's friends, specifically Becky, is in love with Colin and wants to be with Colin. And Colin's friend there is like, I'll be the cuck that sits and watches.
Yeah.
And Colin's not for it, which is hilarious.
Love it. That was the best part was like, you know, he's like, will you please fuck my wife? Like, no, I'm not going to. And he's like, please. And then like when Nadja and Colin go to leave and those two are like dancing together and he's like, hey, you can come back by later and, you know, fuck my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, again, there's good parts and so-so parts in each episode. Again, overall enjoyment's positive, but yeah. Oh, hey, Bojangles. Nice to see you. Yep. Oh, they call it the sweated shirt.
Sweated shirt. That's right.
Yes. Instead of being a sweatshirt, it's the sweated shirt. Have you watched Nobody Wants This at all?
No, right, you were so saying that you were liking it quite a bit.
Yeah, we have two episodes left. We've watched 8 of 10. It's definitely like, I don't say the odd couple, but you know, it's the Jewish rabbi, the non-Jewish girlfriend who they've met, and you know, the rom-com situation where my family, like your family, hates her or this, that, or whatever, back and forth. We're enjoying it. It's a solid show. We just can't watch it around Wesley. So we kind of, you know, cause there's some adult stuff in it.
You old enough for that stuff yet?
No, he's 9. So no, he's not old enough for that yet. But yeah, we're enjoying it. I'm looking forward to watching the final two episodes so we can see how it ends. I'm really all about these limited series, just seeing, like, I want a one and done. Like, I want it to be one episode, like, one season and done, or at least, like, let's have a finalized story in that first season.
Right.
And then we can move on from there, from that finalized story in that first season. If we have a second season, just creating a new story. But let's finish that story in case we don't. Yeah. What are you watching for shows?
So Silo came back on Apple TV Plus. It's had 3 episodes so far. We watched 2 of them. This is still really a good, enjoyable show. They had to kind of break. So like the first 2 episodes are split up. Usually the story just takes place like, you know, you're following different people. They had to split up the first 2 episodes because of the way that the first season ended. It's still a good show, but it's not compelling me to watch it. Like we were talking the other night about, oh, let's watch something. And I was like, well, there is a new episode of Silo, but I'm not like chomping at the bit. So we're kind of just going to let a few of them build up and then binge them rather than doing one a week and being excited about it. We watched a few more episodes of Evil season 2. It's good. It's enjoyable. Honestly, though, we've got some better stuff that we've been watching, so it's kind of gone by the wayside, unfortunately. But we're not forgetting about it. We're not like, oh, we don't like this. There's some interesting stuff going on, though.
I get that, though. Hmm. I get what you mean by that, by saying, oh, I'm taking a break on this.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, watching Leland wants an exorcism and he's really twisting them up to give him an exorcism. And the way that he broke up with her mom.
Yeah.
There was an interesting, and again, this show is so weird in that like you could be watching something and watching a story play out. And at the end of the episode, there's no finalization for it. And then the next episode doesn't pick up where it left off. And maybe like 3 or 4 episodes later, you'll get more closure on that story. But one thing that I found interesting was when Leland broke up with her mom and he was like yelling at her and calling her names and stuff. And then he went and tried to like make up with her. And she said, you think you're the first demon that I've ever been with? Please. And closed the door on him. And I'm like, was she just, you know, being snarky or has she literally dated demons before?
Yeah. So, no, I'd be curious about that myself.
Yeah. So, you know, but with this show, it's a 50-50. Like, if it was another show, then I'd probably be like, ooh, keep an eye on that. That's going to be a thread later on. But with this show, you never know. It could be just a throwaway line. So I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's an interesting thing. And still going on Big Mouth. Got a few more episodes of that in. We're nearing the end. I think we're like halfway through season six, or maybe towards the end of season six. There are only seven seasons. So.
Yeah.
This is just one of those shows, though, that no matter what, every episode is over the top, outrageous, and super fucking fun. Like, I can't think of a single episode where I haven't laughed my ass off. And it's great. So, always, always going to give a hard sell for that. What else are you watching for shows?
So I finished the 1980s Twilight Zone, and I gotta say, season three of these three seasons of 1980s Twilight Zone was the best season ever. It was there was 33 episodes. And it was 30-minute. Format, so 22 minutes an episode or whatever. And the best part about that was the pacing of the show. Much like the original Twilight Zone, where the pacing of the show was really good in seasons 1, 2, 3, and 5. Whereas in season 4, when they went to the hour-long format, it really hurt the pacing. The season 3 of the second series, I'm going to call it, the pacing was fantastic. The episodes were better. There was a lot of great episodes in it. There was one episode that had a really, really dark, fucking dark, twisted ending. That from a short story that actually was published in 1954, ironically. I would have loved to have seen Rod Serling's take on this in the original Twilight Zone. But it was just the last season was very enjoyable to watch, where those first two seasons were kind of a struggle to get through. I started season three of the early 2000s. I mean, sorry, season one of the early 2000s, or I'm going to call it series three of The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
With Forest Whitaker playing the narrator role in the show. And they are the hour long format. And it's just too long. It's just for the story. Like, it's not a concise, like, short, like, bite-sized story or you know, like, it's just the hour-long formatting is too long, and I've seen already that, like, it's kind of going to be a struggle. I don't recall the Jordan Peele series Twilight Zone, how long those episodes were, and my knee-jerk is that they were 45 minutes. They're how long, if you will.
I think so, yeah.
But I feel like he conquered that pacing issue that haunted season four of the original one and seasons one and two of the series two. I'm not going to give up on it. Obviously, I've only watched the first three episodes. I'm going to say they're okay. They're better than the 80s seasons one and two. No doubt about that. But I'm going to keep plugging through. I think it's also because I have to like say it's 9 o'clock at night. I kind of want to go to bed, but not, I don't really want to go to bed, but I kind of should go to bed. So it's like, I'll throw an episode of Twilight Zone on. It's 20 minutes long and then I'll go to bed. Whereas now it's like, now I got to devote 45 minutes. I think that might be too long. So
yeah, I get that.
Yeah. It's just, it feels daunting.
Yeah. We do that with some of our shows too. Like, we've got dedicated half hour shows and hour shows, and we'll do the same kind of thing where we're like, you know, let's sit down, eat some lunch, and just throw on a half hour show.
Or, yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, let's, we're going to have some dinner. Let's watch, you know, let's throw on a quick episode of something or whatever. But yeah, anyways, that's kind of where I'm at there. Like I said, I'm not going to give up on him by any means. I'm going to plug away, but we'll see. We'll see where it gets us. What else? Matlock. We're caught up on Matlock because they're at a midway point now. They're at that midseason break. Kate kind of summed it up. It's a show that like I'm not excited to watch, but when it's on, I enjoy it.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. So it's I can't give it a hard sell, but it's something that we're probably going to stick with at least to the end of the season, and then we'll see what happens if there's a season two, if we're going to keep running with it or not. That's basically how we feel about that.
So I'm not watching it. I forgot that it was even on until you just mentioned it. So
yeah, no, that's cool. Huh?
Do you have a wolf howling in your house?
No, that's a train whistle.
Ah, okay.
The train is up around the tree.
Aha.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll look forward to hearing from you how it goes. If I forgot that it was even on, then I can't imagine that I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to jump right back into it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you don't know it's even on, it's kind of hard to be excited about it.
Yeah.
I get that. So I understand where you're coming from on that one. Let's see here. What else? Well, we got, what's another show to talk about? I know what it is. Ghosts.
You had any of those recently?
I don't know. I don't know if we're caught up or not. I don't remember the last time we spoke about Ghosts. It's been off the air for a little bit. I think the last one we watched was... Well, did we talk about the Hudson Valley Players local acting troupe? They're going to rent out the Manor's Ballroom for the Anything Goes. Alberta's going to help Sam. Okay, so yeah, so we're all caught up there then.
Okay, yeah, I thought it hadn't been on in a little while.
So, yeah, we're all caught up on that run then. So, yeah, excuse me, I guess that's it then.
So, that's all the shows that you have?
Let me check my list again.
I have three others to chat about.
Yeah, fire away. I need to let my voice rest.
So we have watched the first three or four episodes of the new Netflix series Man on the Inside, one with Ted Danson. It's from Michael Schur. So the concept here is Ted Danson. Basically, this woman is a private investigator. She is hired by a guy who says, you know, my mother is in this retirement community. Her necklace was stolen. And he wants the private investigator to find out who stole the necklace, but not tip his mother off that he's looking into this because, you know, he doesn't want to seem overprotective or whatever his angle is. She says, you know, it's a tight community. Like, I can't get in there. It's very secure and blah, blah, blah. So she basically takes out an ad for a senior person. She's like, you know, male 75 to 85. She has her reasoning, you know, basically you'll be more unassuming. There's more women than men there. So, you know, you'll fit in more easily. And Ted Danson has been retired for quite a while. So he agrees to do this, you know, to work with her. And it's a very touching show. It's a very funny show. It's a good show. I'm really enjoying it. Julia's really enjoying it. It's got some very heartfelt moments. It's definitely talking about generations. So, you know, you've got him as the dad, you know, or the senior. Then you've got his daughter, who was on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And her husband was the Hawaiian guy from Tacoma FD. You know what I'm talking about. And they have three teenage sons. So they're struggling with being parents and having three teenage sons. He's struggling with being a widower and, you know, not having anything to do. It's got a lot of heart to it. I really enjoy this show. I would suggest you watch it. They're little 25-minute, 30-minute episodes. It's a good show. Michael Schur does good stuff anyway. He did The Good Place. He did Parks and Rec. He did Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I strongly recommend this. It is a good show. And I think there's only like 10 episodes in the first season.
Okay.
We have watched the first 6 out of 8 episodes of Cross, the new one on Amazon.
How's that treating you?
Terrible.
Oh, really?
Well, the first episode was good, but it seems to be going downhill. We're finding ourselves saying a lot more often than not, that would never happen. Oh, come on. They wouldn't do that. No way that would happen. Really quick summing up. This is the early days of Alex Cross, you know, from the Pattinson novels. Aldous Hodge plays him. But the thing is, even though it's based on these novels, this is a very modern telling. Like, there is a lot of stuff in here about they have a lot of people protesting police, doing Black Lives Matter, defund the police. Like, these are big talking points in this. It's a lot of very pertinent, real life stuff that's going on right now. So some of the writing is great. Some of the dialogue that they have is really fun. It's really snappy. It's cool. And then some of the stuff is just unbelievable. It's ridiculous. I will say that the main villain, spoilers or anything, because it happens right off. But one of the main villains is Tom from The Blacklist / the head doctor on what was that? New Amsterdam. But he's blonde.
Okay. Like
blonde. So it's a very weird look for him. But we're going to finish watching it. It's giving me Reacher season 2. You know how as you're watching it, you're like, this is kind of ridiculous. This is kind of over the top. Why is this happening?
Reacher season 2 vibes, 10-4.
Yeah. I can't really recommend it. Watch it if you want. It's not a bad show, but it's really, there's a lot of head shaking.
That's a great selling point. Yeah, watch it if you want to.
That's basically it. Like, some people might say, oh, I love everything Alex Cross. I love Robert Pattinson.
Holy shit. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Or they really like Aldous Hodge, who is a great actor. I can't give it a hard sell.
I don't disagree. He is a great actor.
Yeah.
I can buy that.
The other one, though, that we have now finished all 3 available seasons of From. And they have confirmed that they're getting at least a 4th season, which will be out in 2026. So I'm very bummed about that. Started watching this show because, like I said, I was on TikTok and there were a number of people who kept saying, this show is so good. It's so good. And I would look at the write up of it and they're talking about like a family finds themselves in a town that they can't get out of and weird creatures come out after dark. And I was like, this sounds kind of boring. It sounds like a Stephen King thing, but everyone keeps saying it's good. This is fucking phenomenal. Like,
yeah,
this is one of the best shows that I've watched in a long time. It's got the best parts of the early season of Lost, you know, back when it was really good and there was mystery behind it, mixed with like the best parts of The Walking Dead, mixed with, I would say, like a cross between The X-Files and Supernatural. This is one of those shows that honestly, like, I am so glad that people just said, just watch this show, it's good, rather than giving me a rundown. And I'm doing the same to you, and I'm doing the same to anyone that's listening. Like, when I put up that picture of episode 403 and I added a picture from in there, I've gotten feedback from a number of different people who are like, oh my God, it's so good. Oh my God, have you watched this yet? Every season ends on a cliffhanger that is so brilliantly done. Like, it's not one of these Smallville cliffhangers where it looks like everybody's about to die. It's one of the compelling things. Like, this is a compelling cliffhanger where you're like, fuck, I can't wait to see what happens. But yeah, I'm not going to go into detail about this. I'm not going to say, here's why you should watch it. Like I said, it's Lost, Walking Dead, Supernatural, X-Files, all the best parts of those. It is really well done. It is phenomenal. The violence is violent. The characters are really well written, and they actually have like growth and depth to them. And I cannot say enough good about this show. This is literally one of the best shows that I've seen in a long time. And they're getting a fourth season. The writers have said that they would love to do like five seasons. I think they're going to get a fifth season. I think they're going to get whatever they want. The mystery is moving forward. It feels like they've got a definite destination. And the end of season three, we got a big chunk of what's going on, but not enough to really satisfy. This show is so good. Don't watch it with Wesley, obviously, because even the episodes that would be considered. Well, he's nine, but I consider a small child like two or three.
Sure.
So, he's halfway to being an adult, air quotes. So even the episodes that would traditionally be considered slow, you know, like, oh, this was a story episode. We've talked about those in the past. Even those episodes are awesome. They're great. So legitimately, like, I give this one the hardest sell. Like, this is a great show. You can watch the first season if you have AMC Plus. If you just upgrade yourself and get MGM Plus, then you can watch all three seasons. And it's a fucking banger. Okay. I think you would really like it. And I think that a lot of the listeners out there would really like it. So,
well, you make a compelling argument.
I hope so, because it is really fucking good. I was surprised by how good it was.
The other show we're kind of watching is called High Potential.
Oh, how is that?
So I've watched the first three episodes. I think they've aired seven so far. The premise is it's like, you know how in you know how much it infuriated me watching Psych, because it was like he was a wicked smart guy who was just really observant and noticed things, had an idyllic memory, but he pretended to be a psychic instead of just being intelligent. It's that, except she's not a psychic. She's wicked smart. She knows she is, and she's not arrogant about it, but she is a little arrogant about it because she's confident.
Okay.
And of course, everyone always underestimates her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
blonde single mom? Yep.
Yep. I've watched the first three episodes. I enjoy it. It's something I'll continue to watch. I think it's apparently this is a version of a French show.
Oh, okay.
From France, not French speaking Quebec. I don't know. I think it's pretty solid. It's worth at least checking out the pilot episode or two if you haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
It wouldn't hurt you there.
Yeah, I saw the previews for it, and I was like, I don't know. It's an ABC show, so I don't know if it's going to be, like, super cheesy. And
yeah. No, it's not that bad. I mean, other than watching Little House on the Prairie, that's all the show is watching.
Okay. Now you have 37 movies?
We did try to watch Highway to Heaven, actually. We did try to give that a go.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it's got Michael Landon in it.
Right.
And it's got the guy that plays Mr. Edwards. I can't think of his name right now. It doesn't matter. And I was like, let's just try it. Right? It's on Peacock. They have the whole run. It's only four seasons or whatever. Let's just give it a go. And we tried. We tried watching the first three episodes, four episodes. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and this has been over the last few weeks. And it really was just, this is just too cheesy even for me. And that's saying something for my wife.
Wow. That's quite a statement.
Yeah. So we've officially duly given up on it. Which is funny because she's like, have you given up on it yet? And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, because I'm going to keep watching if you have. And I was like, well, I'd like to try at least one more. And then it was like, I'm going to try one more. And then we're watching quote fingers, the fourth one. And then finally I'm like, I'm done with it after this, honey. It's it's all yours. She's like, I'm not paying attention to this. I think this is too cheesy even for me. Yeah, it is. It really is. So, But yeah, otherwise just movies now.
Okay.
So I'll talk about my rerun movies first.
Okay.
I watched Rambo First Blood. You know, the argument can be made it's a Christmas movie because there's Christmas trees in the background.
Okay.
I'm joking. There is Christmas trees in the background, but I'm joking. It's just a good flick. It's a solid flick. You know, it's Sylvester Stallone's real first, one of his for after Rocky, you know, it's his second franchise action star that he kind of did. I enjoy it thoroughly. It's great to rewatch every once in a while. Part three, where he's in Russia and Afghanistan, that's probably the worst one of all the Rocky movie. I mean, of all the Rambo of the five Rambo flicks, part three is definitely the worst one. Part two is very solid. Part four, that's some good stuff. And then part five, it's probably the in order. It'd be probably 1, 2, 5, 4, 3. Watched Urban Legend in the hotel one night.
Oh yeah,
that's a solid flick. Haven't seen that in quite a while. It takes place in Maine, actually, about a college campus and urban legends. Great cast.
Yeah, it was.
Let's see here. I keep forgetting there's been two sequels. There was Final Cut and then years later, Bloody Mary. But anyways, but the cast in the first Urban Legend is pretty solid. Jared Leto, Alicia Witt, which, by the way, Alicia Witt, just Sunday night, last night, was at Jonathan's in the Gunkwit doing her Christmas show.
What Christmas? What do you mean?
She released a Christmas album.
Oh, she sings?
Yeah, apparently she sings. So she did a show last night because I know a couple people that went when I saw they posted photos with her at her meet and greet after that she did.
Interesting.
And I'm like, I would have gone to see that, to talk to her about Four Rooms and probably Urban Legend, quite frankly. Anyways, so... And apparently she was just in Long Legs. I would have asked her about that, too, because that's fucked. Anyways, Rebecca Gayhart, Joshua Jackson, Tara Reid, Michael Rosenbaum, Danielle Harris, Robert Englund, Brad Dourif. I mean, the cast is awesome, quite frankly.
Cast is casting.
Yeah, the cast is, yeah, casting, if you will. So that was a fun rewatch. The Final Destination, not the original, but like part four or whatever.
Yeah,
because that's what was on. That was pretty solid. When I finished watching the Twilight Zone 80s series, because I have to watch them in chronological, I watched the lost episodes. They did a in the late 80s, they found two scripts that Rod Serling had penned for the Twilight Zone for that season four when they were the hour long episodes, it looks like, that were never produced or made. And so they made them. And one was 22 minutes. The other one was 44 minutes. The 22 minute one was excellent, of course. The 44 minute one was just okay. So again, it just sticks to that pattern of the half hour is key for the Twilight Zone. So I watched that. That was solid. I did enjoy that. I watched a new movie on Shudder called Out Come the Wolves. Don't bother. Okay. I'll ruin this one, I guess. Basically, woman and her husband or boyfriend are up at their cabin with like her cousin or brother or some shit. I don't know. Anyways, they go hunting and they get attacked by a pack of wolves. And then the wolves are like the monster creatures that they have to battle. Not like Liam Neeson's The Gray, similar, but not as good as that. Anyways, yeah, whatever. It was what it was. Watched The Bourne Identity, one of the hotel nights I had. That's a great flick. Tell you what.
Sure is.
Whew. And then, did I share with you the Blair Witch Project? How they released a new version of the movie? Excuse me. I don't know. I'm sorry. I was looking up the thing. Did I tell you about the Blair Witch Project and the new version of the movie they released? Okay, shaking your head. No, gotcha.
Sir.
So when they did the Blair Witch, the movie initial, the initial run, what they happened was, is they took the like 16 millimeter and high cameras they used, and they had to take a machine and stretch the image to 35 millimeter to show it in theaters. And then when they did the home video release, instead of going back to that original print to do the home video, they took that 35 millimeter print and shrunk it down to, so it's not a new version of the movie per se, as much as like, it's how the movie was supposed to be presented, instead of being like foggy and dark or kind of fuzzy or whatever. It was supposed to look a lot different. Okay. And I ended up buying it because it's region B only. So it's only released in the UK. And I was just very tempted because I enjoyed the movie thoroughly and I haven't seen it in a long time. So I bought it and Johnny came over and we watched it. And yeah, it still holds up. And B, it really does look a lot different. Everything looks a lot different. And the movie's full of special features and document a new documentary on it. That original Sci-Fi Channel special that they released, remember back in the day, to you know, that just kept the story going, yeah, that it was real. That's on there. Some footage that was never released before is released on this home video set. So it's pretty cool, actually. After that, we watched Thanksgiving because he came over a couple days before Thanksgiving. So we had to watch Thanksgiving right before Thanksgiving, the Eli Roth slasher flick. It's a solid flick. You shared the news with me earlier that they're working on a sequel's coming out next year, and I'm here for it. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And then we did put our tree up and we watched the 1947 Miracle on 34th Street on Thanksgiving night, actually, when I was doing the popcorn strands for the tree. And it's fun because we watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade every year and whatnot. And then over the weekend, we watched the 1990, I think it's 93 or 94 version, which is not nearly as good. they changed the ending. Macy's, they don't have permissions to use Macy's and Gimbel's and all the actual real stores. So it's made up stores, and it's definitely just not as good. Not as good as the original.
Okay. Speaking of what you said earlier, you do popcorn strands. Do you do cranberry strands?
No, I just do popcorn.
Okay.
I know some people do both, like a piece of popcorn, a cranberry, or a few pieces of popcorn, a cranberry. I just do popcorn.
Julia was looking to do some cranberry this year, but she was wondering how to keep it from, like, rotting. If you have to dry it out first or if it survives, or
I don't know. The popcorn works fine, but it's not a fruit. So,
right.
I got four more movies to talk about. My voice box needs a break. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So, I'll do our rerun movies first. Well, reruns for me. Pardon me. Julia had never seen Aliens. So we sat down and watched Aliens.
Say what?
She'd seen the original Alien, and she liked that. And then we had gone with you and saw Alien Prometheus, and she liked that.
Romulus?
Was it Romulus? Yeah. Prometheus was the other one. Yes.
Yeah. Romulus. Yeah, the new one's Romulus. The one that's on, it's on Hulu now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we watched Aliens, and I gotta say, I remember it being better as a kid. It's not a bad movie, but it doesn't hold up as well as I thought.
It's been a few years for me, a good couple, three maybe. Yeah. A lot of people cite that they think Aliens is the better flick. The rare sequel is better than the original.
I don't know that I would say that.
I don't know. I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah. It's not bad. I still enjoyed it. She didn't enjoy it as much. But it's just a lot of it is very cheesy. I remember there being more aliens. Like, it's 2.5 hours, and I think it's an hour and a half or an hour before you ever actually see an alien. And it's not like in the movie Alien, the original, where it's the suspense building up. Like, this is just, it's getting her out of the cryo freeze and then talking to the Marines and then getting geared up on the ship and having the little thing where she pilots the exosuit and then traveling there and then looking around and then finding Newt and then looking around more. And then it's forever before we actually get into any actual aliens. So,
and I think that was part of my complaint with Romulus, is that there was too many aliens too fast, too quickly. They gestated too quickly. Everything was so rapid. I loved the movie, but everything was so rapid. Like, even in the original Alien, it took so much longer from when the alien was implanted, if you will, till it gestated and burst out.
Right.
Whereas this was just boom, 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 and Romulus.
And in Aliens, you had like the colonists who were all kind of dead by the time these people get there. And they've already birthed the aliens. So there's a whole swarm of aliens running around, xenomorphs, if you will. They're all running around there, you know, screwing people up, killing them. So you don't get the suspenseful, like, face hugger, implantation, chest burster type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's still good, but you know what has really not aged well? And it's not that it hasn't aged well, it's just not as good these days. True Lies. I really liked True Lies back in the day.
The Schwarzenegger flick?
Yep.
I haven't seen that in forever.
This is the one they've been talking for a while. I don't know if they're actually going to do it, but they've been talking about making a TV series out of it. And I kept telling Julia, I was like, we should sit down, we should watch this. You know, it's 1994. It was great. It wasn't that great. There's a lot of cheesy stuff in there. There's a lot of, I don't know. It's not as great as I remember it being. She was not a fan at all. Yeah. She was like, this is ridiculous. But sat through the whole thing. And on the other hand, though, if we're talking about rerun movies that were just as good, if not better, we watched Constantine, Keanu Reeves, Rachel Weisz. She had never seen that one. And I was like, you would love this. So we sat down and watched it. And I told her after the movie, I was like, I know you love that. I don't even have to ask. I know you love that. She's like, how do you know? And I was like, because you never got on your phone. You never bit your fingernails. You literally were glued to the screen the whole time. And she's like, oh, is that true? And I was like, yeah. So. But yeah, Constantine is a fucking great movie. The TV series I miss. I wish that they had gotten more of that with Matt Ryan. But the movie was phenomenal. They're talking about doing a sequel with Keanu and Rachel Weisz coming back. I'm all for that at this point. But yeah, that was a great rerun movie. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 movies that are new to me. So, I'll keep going because it looks like your voice is still not great. So we watched the flick Your Monster, which I thought was a Beauty and the Beast thing. Melissa Barrera, who was from Scream and then, you know, no longer from Scream because she put some stuff out on social media that they didn't like. She plays a girl who got dumped and she's not handling it well. She's living alone in this apartment and she comes to find out there is a monster that lives there who looks kind of like the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, which is why I thought that's what it was. But he's a dick and he doesn't like her and he wants her out. And this is a fun romance movie. But like almost a reverse romance. So honestly, if you like a good rom-com, if you want a little bit of a twisted tale, check this one out. It's really good. I can't remember what we watched on. I want to say like Peacock or something. But yeah, it's called Your Monster and it's a lot of fun. It's great. I liked it a lot. another one that we watched because I had gotten a recommendation on Hulu or TikTok. It's called 11:14, and that's the like a time. Like if you looked at a clock, 11:14. And the premise is that it's kind of like the movie Go, where you see in the very beginning, this guy is driving down the road talking to somebody on the phone, and he has an accident. A body falls off an overpass and hits his car, and it happens at exactly 11:14. And then there's like three or four other stories that you get to watch later, and they all kind of tie back and show how this happened. So they all tie in together. It's good. It's not great.
That came out like 20 years ago, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. Cause Patrick Swayze's in it.
Yeah. I remember watching that. I don't remember fine details. I just remember the title and it sounded like a familiar. And then when you said it was like Go, I was like, yep. Okay. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. It's got Rachel Lee Cook. It's got, Hilary Swank, it's got Clark Gregg, it's got just a bunch of different people that you're like, oh, look, it's them. It was okay. I wanted it to be better, but it wasn't, so it was okay.
A new to me movie that came out in 2019, it's called Feast of Seven Fishes.
Okay.
We watched it on Peacock. It's a Christmas movie in that it takes place at Christmas time and Christmas Eve. I wouldn't say and the Feast of Seven Fishes is based on an Italian American Christmas Eve celebration of eating seven different types of seafood, I guess. It's a solid flick. I enjoyed it thoroughly. The cast is pretty decent. It's a bunch of people like, oh, I know who that is. They say it's a romantic comedy that set in the Rust Belt, town on the banks of the, it's in West Virginia, the Monongahela River in 1983. When Tony Olivero, a nice working-class Italian American Catholic boy, brings Beth, an affluent Ivy League Protestant girl, to his family's raucous tradition family seafood feast on Christmas Eve. It's not something that I'd be like, oh, this is amazing. Let's, like, everyone needs to watch this 100,000 times. No. I would say, hey, this was a fun flick, and I enjoyed watching it thoroughly. So I think it was on Peacock. I believe it was on Peacock. It's worth your time. It's definitely worth you checking out.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say it's a coming of age type story. It's not. It just takes place over the course of like a day, maybe 2 days, at least maybe like 2 days. Yeah. And it is, I guess, a rom-com of sorts. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I got three other movies to talk about. All these are new movies.
Same here.
I went to the movies and saw two of them. One of them I watched at home.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we went to the drive-in and saw Wicked.
Ah, yes. You and everybody else in the world except for me.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know it was a two-part movie where part two comes out next November.
Yeah. People are a little bit miffed about that because they're like, how can you have an entire Broadway play that does it in one sitting in less than 2 hours, and yet the movie is going to take like 5 hours collectively?
No, the Broadway play is more than 2 hours, but like the runtime of the movie was 4 minutes long. No, the play is 4 minutes longer than the runtime of this movie.
Oh, okay.
And this is only half the movie.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I enjoyed it thoroughly. We both loved it. We both thought it was fantastic. And then when I was in Wisconsin that Thursday night, it was raining. And I don't want to go sit in the hotel room. So I went and checked out one of their local movie theaters. And I went and saw Heretic, the Hugh Grant flick.
Oh yeah, the one where he like lives in that house and the two girls show up.
Yeah, the two Mormons,
mm-hmm.
Or Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. Yeah, the Mormons. That was a great flick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a flick that, like, you have to like dialogue. Because there's a lot of talking points and it makes you think for a while. And then it gets to some action per se. Not like fighting action, but it gets to stuff happens. It starts moving at a more rapid pace. So it starts out a little slow with lots of dialogue, intriguing dialogue, interesting dialogue, in my opinion. And then the pace picks up a little bit and the pace starts going faster and then fucked up stuff starts to happen. And, yeah, it's a great flick. It's a really good flick. I would give that a, you know, if you don't want to go to the theaters and see it, don't. But when it comes out at home, you should make a point to watch it.
I definitely will. It looked good in the previews.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely enjoyed it thoroughly. Why don't you talk about it, Flick?
So I watched Time Cut, which is that one on Netflix that you watched as well, where it's kind of like that one. Anyway.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mute that time. I apologize.
That's all right. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the one that takes...
Totally Killer.
Totally Killer, yes.
Yeah. So basically the premise of this is that a girl ends up going back in time to the 90s, where a serial killer went on a spree for like 4 days and killed a bunch of kids. And
yeah.
One of them was her sister.
Yes.
So I was immediately thrown off by doing math in my head.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, so this girl's 18 years old and 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Her 18-year-old sister died. Was murdered. And I went, now this math ain't mathing. Like, so her parents essentially, you know, if she was 18, even if they had her at like, we'll say 20. So then her parents are like 38 when she gets murdered. 3 years go by. So now they're like 41, 42. And then they have another daughter.
Yeah.
And then they're like 60 when she's graduating high school. And the thing is, like, they come on the screen. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they did all this makeup to really make them look old. And then when she goes back in time to the 90s and we see them there in their younger versions, they don't look that different. Like they don't. It doesn't look like the makeup was really doing that much. So. Long story short, I didn't like it.
Like, okay.
I should have liked it. This was I really liked Totally Killer and I really wanted to like this, but I didn't. There was a lot of unbelievable shit in here. There was a lot of ridiculousness. Like at one point they're in a mall. She's on the second or third floor or whatever. And the killer, they knock him down and they run out of a store over to an escalator. And suddenly he's at the bottom of the escalator. Like, at that point, I literally said, oh, there must be two killers because there was no way.
You know what? I thought the same exact thing when I saw that scene.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, there's no way that he could be down there because they knocked him down and left him there, ran right over to this escalator, and suddenly he's at the bottom. Like, I was like, oh, there must be two killers. Nope. Yeah, I just I didn't really like the movie. I thought it was kind of ridiculous. They bent time travel rules, which wasn't that bad. I got what they were.
I can look for you when I'm done.
But yeah, ultimately it was not a great movie. It made me groan and go, oh, come on, a lot. So yeah, I'm not giving that one a hard sell to anybody.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But
I kind of feel the same way about Smile too.
Oh yeah.
I watched that flick and here's
you really like the first one.
Huh?
You really like the first one.
Here's my issue. Like, so the Smile is about someone like who dies horrifically in front of someone. So it puts the curse on them. And then they see people that smile at them in an evilish way. And then like a week later, they're killed or they kill themselves in front of someone to pass the curse on, etc. That's what we established in the first movie. And they continue that in the second movie. What's hard is the person that you want to have sympathy for is a pop princess type person like Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera or not Taylor Swift, because she's not nice enough like that. But yeah, it's a pop princess who's had their demons with drugs, and it's hard to feel bad for them. You can't sympathize. You can't relate. They don't make her very likable for being the victim. The ending is interesting. I'll leave it at that. But it just wasn't. It wasn't that great.
Okay. So you definitely liked the first one a lot better.
Yeah, I liked the first one a lot better. Yes, but they doubled down in this one, and they made like the bad guy too insurmountable.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's almost like, oh, you've been cursed, and there's literally nothing at all you can do to stop it. There's absolutely nothing you can do to overcome this. You know, like they've just made the demon, if you will, or the whatever it is, just too insurmountable, at least in this flick. So it's like, oh, this person's doomed. Oh, well. Like, at least in Drag Me to Hell, like, it didn't end well for her. But there was a chance it could have. She just messed up, you know?
Yeah.
But there was a way out. It feels like there's no way out or no way to overcome the bad guy in this.
Okay. So I've got to ask, though, you said that she was a pop princess, and you said, but not like Taylor Swift, because she's not nice like that. Meaning the girl wasn't nice like that, or Taylor Swift's not nice like that?
The girl is not nice like that. The girl has drug problems.
I gotcha.
You know, like Britney Spears had issues, and what's her name there? Amanda Bynes had her issues, and she's doing like Netflix holiday movies now.
Lindsay Lohan.
Thank you, honey. Lindsay Lohan had issues.
Tell her I said it first.
You didn't though. But anyways, yeah. So like, they all had their demons they had to overcome and to shine a better, brighter light or whatever. Whereas this girl in the movie, she's in the midst of them, and she's not very likable. And you like, you know, the actress worked really hard learning the songs and the dancing and the choreography is kind of neat. And she obviously acted her ass off. Like, I'll give all the credit in the world there. The character in the movie is not very great. It's hard to relate to. You don't feel bad for her. She's not an innocent. Like in the first movie, they were innocents. You know what I mean? The people that were that were being tormented and running for their life, if you will, they were an innocent. They are a good person. You know, you could feel bad for them. You can't. I just couldn't feel bad for this person. So,
gotcha. Okay.
It's one of those things, though, if they make a third movie, I'll watch the third one. I mean, yeah.
You sound like, you're like, if they make one, I'll watch it.
Basically, yeah. What do you got going on still?
So, speaking of terrible holiday movies, that's our last two, is we watched the Netflix movie Our Little Secret, which is Lindsay Lohan.
Isn't that Lindsay Lohan? Yeah,
it sure is, which is why I knew who you're talking about. It's really not that good. Honestly, like I like a good cheesy holiday movie. This one, it was badly done. It had a lot of, meet the parents / meet the Fockers vibes going on. You know, Kristen Chenoweth was the impossible mother-in-law. The concept here is that Lindsay Lohan and this guy have been like best friends since they were little kids, and they dated and then they didn't date, and they've been like on again, off again lovers. Then she goes away to London, and right before she goes, he proposes to her, and she's like, no, I don't want to be with you. So now it's been, I think, a decade. And they do this really weird montage where they show you weird things that have happened over the decade, like the ice bucket challenge and things like that. And then Lindsay Lohan's now dating this guy, and she's going home to meet his family for Christmas. Her ex-boyfriend, who, you know, was her best friend, is dating this girl, and he's going home to meet her family for Christmas. And, oh, spoiler, it's the same family because they're brother and sister. So now they're pretending that they don't know each other, and it's
why wouldn't you just say you know each other? Why would you make it awkward?
Because the mother-in-law, Kristen Chenoweth, is very much looking to rip Lindsay Lohan apart. She starts doing it the moment she gets there. So she's like, I want her to like me. This is just going to make it awkward if, you know, they know that we've dated before. It's just going to cause drama. So let's just pretend like nothing happened, like we don't know each other.
So they don't tell their partners either. It's just they keep the secret between themselves.
Correct.
Oh, and I'm sure they don't slip up along the way and accidentally say things that, like, don't make sense to anybody but them, or inside jokes, or...
Or talk about how they both lived in the same small town growing up and somehow don't know each other. Yeah. So I can't give that one a strong recommendation.
Freaking terrible.
Can't give it a strong recommendation.
No, that's garbage.
On the other hand, we also watched Hot Frosty.
What?
Hot Frosty. Have you seen this one?
I've never even heard of this one.
It's brand new on Netflix. It's starring Lacey Chabert. And she is the woman in town who runs the diner and, you know, has no love in her life because she lost her husband to cancer years back.
Oh, my. No. It's not a snowman come to life.
It sure is.
Oh, fuck that.
Oh, yeah. That's
stupid.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And you need to watch it.
Kathy Barrett runs Kathy's Cafe with a K. In downtown Hope Springs, New York, her husband
Hope died Springs, New York,
handyman. But now her heat is out, the roof leaks, and a step on the staircase is broken. Oh my God! Even the plot reads terrible.
it is everything that you terrible. Would expect that in is... a. Oh yeah,
and the guy's name is Jack Snowman. Really?
Uh huh. Because he doesn't have any identity. So, yeah.
Oh, seriously. Lacey Chabert, what have you done?
Chabert.
Whatever.
You know what's really funny, though? And actually, you probably wouldn't get this one, but at one point, she turns on the TV for him. She's like, hey, I got to go to work. You just stay here and watch TV. So she turns on TV, and one of Lindsay Lohan's Christmas movies from last year on Netflix playing on the TV, and Lacey Chabert looks at her and goes, that's weird. She looks like a girl I went to high school with, which is a nod to Mean Girls.
Yes.
Love that. So yeah, absolutely priceless. This is a great Christmas movie. Fucking stick a fork in it. You gotta check out Hot Frosty.
No.
Oh, absolutely
no.
The next that one that we're going to be
terrible.
The next one that we're going to be checking out is called The Merry Gentleman, which is one where they're trying to save the town, so they get strippers, or they get the guys to do strip shows.
Oh. A Broadway dancer stages an all male Christmas themed review in hopes of saving her parents' small town performing venue.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you enjoy that. You enjoy that.
I sure will.
Trash garbage. movies and trailers, news, I mean, and trailers.
Not a lot of stuff this week. I think it starts on November 12th when you sent me the trailer, the ridiculous teaser for Stranger Things, the final season, which gives us the episode titles.
Yeah,
I sent you a trailer for The Amateur.
It was just the titles of the episodes. Yeah. It took me a second to remember what was going on here.
Yeah.
It was just the titles of the episodes.
Sent you a trailer for The Amateur, really excited about this one. Rami Malek, basically, he's an analyst, and his fiance gets killed or something.
Yeah, I can't recall.
Deeply introverted decoder for the CIA working out of a basement office. His life's turned upside down when his wife is killed in a terrorist attack. Supervisors won't do anything about it, so he's like, I'm going to take all the training that I have, which is basically watching other people do stuff, and he takes on the terrorists. It looks like a Liam Neeson's kind of thing.
A Liam Neeson's? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid pass.
Come, dude, you sent me the trailer for Popeye the Killer Man.
Popeye the Slayer Man. Instead of Sailor Man, it was Popeye the Slayer Man.
Yeah. And you're going to pass on The Little Mermaid being a horror film?
I mean, yeah.
Let's see.
I'm not going to watch the Popeye one either, dude.
Okay. I thought you were actually getting geared
no,
up.
No, I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, it really.
I did not watch the trailer to Mission Impossible 8, The Final Reckoning, because I'm going to watch the movie. I've watched them all so far. When it comes out on Paramount Plus on TV, I'm going to watch that too.
Yep.
So.
We got an extended trailer for The Thunderbolts.
What'd you think of that?
I think it looks great.
I do too, actually.
It's interesting. We finally get to find out that Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character is the one who bought Tony Stark's tower.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I think she's basically making the Dark Avengers is what it is. Because Thunderbolts has an asterisk.
Yes.
And at one point, like, I think Bucky says, we can't use that name or can't be called that or something. I don't know. I feel like it's going to turn out that they're the Dark Avengers.
Yeah, but I mean, Florence Pugh, Sebastian Stan, David Harbour, Wyatt Russell. I mean, it's a great cast. A lot of great returning characters. A group of anti-hero heroes going on missions for an American government is a tag. I'm excited for it. I think it looks good. I thought the trailer looked good.
Yep.
I am looking forward to it.
Me too. There is an official Spaceball sequel, allegedly. I don't know how I feel about that, but
it doesn't need a sequel.
It really doesn't. It was a
standalone.
It was a great joke when it came out. He was like, you know, we'll all meet in the search for more money.
But I don't need to see a sequel to that.
Sophie Turner is going to be Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider show on Amazon.
Oh, I believe it. That worked. I mean, yeah, it makes sense.
Yep.
No Good Deed.
That's a weird trailer.
Yeah, it is. It says it follows three families vying to buy the same house, which they all think will solve their problems. It's going to be a series on Netflix. Ray Romano, Lisa Kudrow, Linda Cardellini, Luke Wilson. Abby Jacobson. It doesn't do a whole lot for me.
No, I might check it out, but I think I've got other things to watch.
Yeah, I might check it out as well, but it's
Beetlejuice,
not.
Beetlejuice coming up on Max.
That looks good.
Yep. Kevin Smith has announced that he's making a sequel to Dogma. I'm not surprised that, he got the rights back and he's like, oh, I'm going to make a sequel, but just give us the original.
He has developed so many sequels to movies that haven't happened. Until I see something, because Mallrats was supposed to be getting a sequel. There was a whole script. There was a whole big everything.
Yeah.
The Clerks 3 we got was not the Clerks 3 that was originally written as Clerks 3.
We never got Moose Jaws.
Yeah, we never got Moose Jaw. Moose Jaws never got released. That's allegedly all done and filmed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm just excited to go see Dogma in the theater. Julia's never seen it. I really want to, I think we should all go hack into a theater and watch one of the greatest Kevin Smith movies.
Okay. Alien Earth. Alien Earth teaser. Perfect teaser.
Yep.
Perfect teaser. I don't need to see anything more than that. I don't need to see it at all.
Absolutely.
That's it's not a movie or TV news, but Evil Dead Pinball Game.
Yeah. That's
I hope I find it someday to play it.
I still think you should just buy one.
Yeah.
There's that.
Oh, you know what?
Popeye the Slayer Man.
Yeah, I know, right? Sorry. I did not watch this trailer to The Pit. I forgot.
So it's an interesting concept. It's an emergency room. I think they said it's like whatever it is, 15 hours, 15 episodes. So it's one shift in an emergency room over, I think, like a 15-hour period. Each episode is 1 hour out of that. So if you watched all 15, you would be watching it in real time. And it looks interesting for that. I don't know. Noah Wiley as an ER doctor again.
Yeah, that was the nose. I just noticed that was him looking at the thumbnail there. So
I like the concept. I always like the concept of real time movies or TV shows, but we'll see.
Yeah,
I'll probably check out the first episode and see if I want to watch more.
And we're getting a new Voltron cartoon, huh?
Oh, it's a live action.
Oh shit, that's live action?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a cartoon.
Hmm.
Oh, wow, that is going to be live action. No shit.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I'm way more excited for this.
Yeah, I always thought Voltron was a great anime, a great series.
I am.
And Henry Cavill these days. Yeah. Put him in anything, I'm there.
I preferred the Voltron, the lions, the cats, over the... Cars. Oh, you took it over the cars, yeah.
Well, I was worried that you were going to have a hot take that you preferred the cars and we were going to have...
Oh, fuck no. No, okay. I don't know who would.
I don't
quite frankly.
No, yeah. I always felt like the cars were just a money grab.
Yeah. No, the original Lion was where it's at.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much everything.
Yeah. Whew, good, because my throat's spent.
Yeah, you need to go get some rest.
I just need to not talk, which is hard what I'll you. Be doing after we, yeah, kind of sometimes. But anyhow, cool. I'm on social medias. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am a Quantum Geek G33.
That's the show.